Welcome to this edition of Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around the district and from further afield. Shock, horror, there's no Spanish iceberg lettuces. Well, it's a crisis, or is it? You remember that Juliet Foxwell from Box Local joined us earlier in the year to tell us about her weekly produce box full of local produce delivered to your door. She joined me to explain why she thinks, well, frankly, we should get a grip. Yeah, thank you very much indeed for joining us. So perhaps you could just explain, why do we have this so-called shortage of lettuces?
Well, sadly, in Spain, they've had two different kind of weather systems that have really impacted on their crops, one being heavy rain in December, and through January they've had a lot of snow, which has impacted planting crops, harvesting crops, and moving them around the country. So, obviously, any crops anywhere are susceptible to the weather. It is one of those things.
Yeah.
And sadly, it has impacted Spain more than anywhere else.
Yes, I think we can tend to forget that, as you say, that farming is a very weather-dependent activity, isn't it? We are at the mercy of the weather.
We are, and I think, we've come to depend on certain things, come rain or shine, really, and
yeah.
That's the way things are at the moment.
That's the problem. Okay, so what's the answer to our dependency on crops, whatever the weather, if you say to me?
Well, I think really we've just got a little bit reliant on having whatever we want whenever we want it. And I think going back to eating what's seasonally available around you, and just broadening the kinds of vegetables that you eat means that you're not that dependent on one particular type.
Okay, so a bit of diversity and a bit of seasonality as well, I suppose.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so no iceberg lettuces. What kind of thing would you suggest then for the lunchbox or whatever at this time of year?
Well, a salad doesn't have to be a green leaf, does it? So you could grate some carrots, some beetroot, maybe some red cabbage, and make a nice slaw with a little bit of olive oil and a dressing on it, something a bit crunchy like that.
Yeah.
A lot of people, the reason courgettes were such a big thing is the spiralising thing. Lots of people have got into clean living and using courgettes as almost a replacement for pasta.
Yeah.
But there's loads of veg you can spiralise. So you could spiralise carrots or parsnips or turnips even.
Yeah.
So I think it's, all these kind of fads, dare I say, have kind of contributed to the must-have vegetables almost.
Yes. Okay. So, I mean, actually, from what you were saying there, all the ideas of the slaws with things like beetroot in. So beetroot's a superfood, isn't it? So this is more nutritious as well as being more seasonal.
Well, compared to an iceberg lettuce, definitely. The nutritional value of, some of the vegetables that we grow locally are great. And also, our body requires the vitamins that are available at the time of year. So a lot of the vegetables that are available locally contain what our bodies need to fight winter colds and things like that. So
it's actually really
good for us to do that.
So, I mean, really, apart from cutting down on the food miles, there's all sorts of advantages, for us personally in eating seasonally, eating locally.
Yes, definitely.
Fantastic. So tell us what you're putting into Box Local veg boxes this week then. Tempt us with what's going on.
Well, around at the moment we've got purple sprouting broccoli, which is great because obviously we rely on broccoli from Spain at the moment. We've got carrots, parsnips, leeks. We've got a little bit of spinach, although it's growing quite slowly. Different cabbages and kales, cauliflowers, turnips, rocket swede, all these things are available at the moment, so there's definitely no shortage of local veg.
Crikey, when you put it like that, we really don't need the iceberg lettuces, do we?
No, we don't.
There's an awful lot there.
Yeah.
Juliet, I'll make sure the details of Box Local go onto our website so everybody can take a look and see the wonderful things that you've got on offer.
Great.
Thank you very much indeed for coming in and telling us about
No problem
then.
At all.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I was talking there to Juliet Foxwell from Box Local. And as I said, details of Box Local can be found on our blog, rvenvironmentmatters.wordpress.com, where, remember, you can also download the podcast of today's show. Now, the UN World Water Day is coming up on the 22nd of March, with a reminder that fresh water is a precious and scarce resource. Local artist Catherine Fenton, who you'll remember got together with St Albans Friends of the Earth to create the I Choose Tap Water recycled water bottle Christmas tree, is now involved in a series of events to promote the day and get us to think more about water. I spoke to Catherine to hear more. Catherine, thank you very much indeed for joining us. Why do we need World Water Day?
Well, water is one of those wonderful natural substances that we think we have an endless supply of. And in fact, we have the same supply that we've always had. Water has been recycled and recycled from the time of dinosaurs until now. But the natural recycling is we're outstripping it because we're using more water than nature can clean and reproduce for us. So we need to bring people's attention back to what we can do ourselves to help this.
Right. Okay. I'd not thought about it like that. Actually, that is a good point, but there's no more than there ever was. So why did you decide to get involved in World Water Day?
Well, I'd been involved previously with World Toilet Day, and I'd maintained my contacts within UN Water. And it just seemed a really good platform for art to make a useful point and help illustrate cultural and climatic issues that are affecting us all right now.
Okay, so you touched on the art there. You're helping to organise an art exhibition. Tell us a little bit about it, where it is, who's involved, what you're hoping to achieve by it.
Well, the exhibition itself is in conjunction with What Is The Point Art, otherwise known as WITP, which is a charity that was set up by Kate Enters, who is the director. And the idea was to allow artists a platform without it costing them as much as it normally does in a commercial gallery. So we take no commission. And the idea behind that was to, one of our aims is social and cultural involvement. And so World Water Day fitted really well with this.
Right.
Because it's very important to us all.
Right. Okay. And any artist can take part in this?
Yes, it's open to professional artists, where the final submission day is the 17th of February.
Okay.
And
do you have people from St Albans involved?
We have quite a few artists from St Albans that are members of WITP and will be involved not only in the exhibition, but also in some of the workshops we'll be organising.
Okay, so move on then to the workshops. Tell us a little bit about those. Where will they be taken? Who goes to the workshops?
Well, the first workshop is at the Wetland Centre down in Barnes.
Yeah.
And what we're hoping there is that surrounded by water, it's a perfect place to remind people that although it's water, it isn't water that we can drink directly.
Yeah.
And that all water needs to be clean and safe for us to drink. So we're looking at ways that we can teach people to step away from the idea that it's an endless source and that we need to actually conserve it and look at ways, because what we do here vastly affects people on the other side of the planet too.
Yes, yes. I suppose things like our food when it's grown, there's some statistics about the amount of water it takes to produce enough coffee for a cup, etc. All of this, of course, we don't see the effect, do we? But it's still there.
And also even simple things, which I hadn't realised until recently, funnily enough, when I was in Canada, which, as you know, has got masses of lakes and masses of water, that there was a big argument about a commercial company setting up a water bottling plant. Because it would actually lower the level of some of the lakes to make it very difficult for fish, certain species of fish, to actually lay eggs because of, you know, it interrupts their cycle.
So
when we're buying water from India, it's really affecting their ecosystem.
Right. Another good reason for ditching bottled water, isn't it? So the educational workshop, this is for school children? Is it a half-term activity?
This is later on. This is the 18th to 19th of March at the Wetlands Centre.
Right.
Then we will have...
And is that open to anybody?
That's open to anyone.
Right.
There is an admission fee for the Wetlands Centre, but the workshops and the talks, because we'll have Thames Water will be supplying us with some of the statistics locally. Yeah. And we will also have all the statistics globally from UN Water.
Okay.
We will also be having another one at the Unicorn Theatre on Tooley Street on the 25th.
Right.
And then right in the middle of that will be our exhibition on the private view will be on World Water Day, which is the 22nd of March.
Okay, so you've got lots of things going on there. I'll make sure the information on the website, there'll be information on our website about how you can book for that.
And also the actual exhibition, yes, will be in Clerkenwell, I must say.
In Clerkenwell, okay.
At the Toto Concept studio there.
Yeah. Okay. Now, just thinking about things that we can personally do, you know, perhaps if you're not an artistic person or whatever, or you can't get down to London, just things at home that you can do to help. Just a couple of things.
Well, for a start, try to always take a bottle with you. It sounds very simple, but the impact could be huge because it's very easy when you're out and about to buy a bottle of water.
Yeah.
And if you took one with you, it would make a huge amount of difference because the water that's coming from the taps, especially if it's gone through a filter of yours at home, is normally clean, if not better, than the water you may buy from a bottle that's been sitting,
yes,
in a store for a while.
Yeah,
so,
and of course that's come locally, you haven't got the transportation cost, you haven't got the plastic, and as you said, actually you don't know what the ecological impact might be of something that has been brought from another part of the world, so... Lots of good reasons for that. Then,
yeah,
isn't
it is. And so, and also to make it not, you know, to make it a fun would be nice, you know, because one of the things we're doing at the workshops is we're looking at the idea of message in a bottle.
Yeah.
So we're looking at ways that small pledges that we can make that would make a difference, whether we, you know, saving water from baths to water the garden, just little things like that, and just thinking more.
Yeah.
About the water around us.
Excellent. That'd be a good activity for half term, wouldn't it? Thinking of your own little message in the bottle, things that you're going to do to help with World Water Day. Catherine, thank you very much indeed for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And there I was talking to Catherine Fenton, local artist, who's doing her bit for World Water Day. And all the information that she was talking about there can be found on our blog, rvenvironmentmatters.wordpress.com. Now, a reminder from the Woodland Trust that Valentine's Day is coming up and they're asking you to show the love. But there's no red roses, no soppy cards and no nicely chilled fizz involved in what they want you to do. I spoke to Sally Smurthwaite to find out what was involved. And thank you for joining us. So what's Show the Love about then?
So it's about showing the love for the special places we care about that could be lost to climate change. It's to encourage government to take action, so to help address the impacts, which are already being felt in many of our most cherished places.
Really? So woodlands are actually being affected by climate change already, are they?
Yeah, definitely. Woods and trees are affected. We're already seeing an increase in the impact of pests and diseases because they can thrive in warmer climates. Increased rain can impact on tree growth. The warmer seasons also encourage early blooming, which we've seen quite a lot with our spring recording program, which is then the early blooming is then damaged by frost, which
right.
affects wildlife and their routine and things like that.
Okay. So, yeah, that's quite worrying then, isn't it? So tell us about the Show the Love events that you've got going along at Hartwood this year.
So on Sunday, the 12th of February, we are having a couple events. So we'll have guided nature walks and we'll also have a drop-in craft session to make green hearts and write about tree stories on paper hearts, which we'll then hang on a tree to show off and show how much we care.
Right. OK. That sounds fun. Who are these events aimed at? Is it just aimed at kids or is it for adults?
It's meant to be a family event for everyone to get involved in. The two guided nature walks may be slightly more interesting for adults, but everyone is very welcome to come along. And the session to craft green hearts and decorate paper hearts is definitely an event for all the family. Kids especially loved playing around with glue and sequins at our similar event last year.
Yeah.
We'll have lots of fabric and arty stuff so everyone can get stuck in.
Oh, that sounds like lots of fun, doesn't it? Now, you're talking about the way in which climate change affects woodland.
obviously coming along to your events to raise awareness is great, but how about things personally that we can do? Is there anything in particular you'd like us to think about?
Well, as part of Show the Love, it's a national campaign being run by the Climate Coalition, so you can join that by making, sharing and wearing green hearts and to show government that you care about these issues, and you can share them on social media with hashtag Show the Love. Yeah. You could head to our website to find more inspiration. Yeah. It's an easy way to show that you care if you can't attend events like ours.
Yeah,
you could also help care for woodland and respect your local woods and, for example, don't walk on bluebells.
Yeah.
You could also get involved in our campaign on our website to protect ancient woodland and trees.
Right, so lots that we can be doing there. Now, as far as the Show the Love event goes, do we have to book or can we just turn up?
Yes, we have a page on our website where you can book your place.
Right.
So you can choose which guided nature walk to go on. There's one at 11 and one at 2 p.m. So yeah, just book your place and
Lovely.
Let us know what you're interested in.
Okay, well, we'll make sure that all the information goes onto our blog so that listeners can book their place there. Sally-Anne, thank you very much indeed for telling us about that. We hope that the event goes really well. Thank you.
Thank you.
I was talking there to Sally-Anne Smirthwaite of the Woodland Trust. And all the information about the show, the Love the Event, and the rest of the information from today's show can be found at rvenvironmentmatters.wordpress.com, where, remember, you can also download the podcast. And you might like to know that you can now list your event for free on the Radio Verulam website. So whether it's a Share the Love craft event, bird watching on the common, or an exhibition of recycled art, put the details on the Radio Verulam website just so we can all hear about it. We always like to hear from you. Remember, you can tweet us at RV Environment Matters. You can email us environmentonrv@gmail.com. Next week, your help's needed with the housing crisis. Listen in to find out what it's all about. Until then, thank you for listening.